Welcome to the Depth Dive. Today, we're jumping straight into the new Google, Temasek, and Bain Economy SEA report for 2025.
Right. And the big change this year, it now covers all 10 member nations.
All 10 members. Yeah, that's what, over 600 million people?
It's 114 million. Yeah, it's a huge scope now.
Okay, so what's the big picture takeaway, the headline?
Well, the headline is pretty stark, especially for policy folks. The Southeast Asian digital economy, it's shown really unprecedented growth. It's smashed through barriers, foundational ones, crises, you name it. And it's hit over $300 billion in GMV for 2025.
Wow, $300 billion, that's huge. How does that compare to earlier predictions?
Get this, it's 1.5 times what they forecast back in the first report. So way ahead of schedule.
Incredible. So thinking through that policy lens, the report suggests the next decade is kind of a balancing act.
Exactly. You've got these really powerful catalysts on one side. Think AI, investment coming back, more ASEAN cooperation. But then on the other side, the big unknown, the wild card, is regulation. The actual choices being made.
Right. Those choices could either turbocharge things or, well, slow them down significantly.
Precisely. Let's talk about that growth momentum for a second.
Okay.
We're still seeing double-digit growth year on year, around 15%, both for GMV and for actual revenue the platforms are making.
And that revenue part is key, right? It's not just about scale anymore.
No, definitely not. There's been a really decisive shift towards monetization. Smart monetization, things like tiered services, higher pricing where it makes sense, finding new revenue streams. Profitability is the focus now.
Okay, so how's that playing out, like in e-commerce?
Well, e-commerce is interesting. Video commerce is exploding. It's now like 25% of the total GMV.
A quarter. Wow.
Yeah, but here's the twist. It's driven by tons and tons of really small transactions. Average order value is only like $6 or $7 in the main markets.
$6? That sounds... I don't know. Fragile. How do they even make money on that?
Scale and efficiency, basically. They're processing billions of these tiny orders. It works. And then you look at something like food delivery.
Ugh, classic cash burners.
Well, they were. Now they're actually getting close to profitability. They're cutting the cost to serve, being smarter, and expanding. Finding adjacent revenue is like getting value from inside the actual restaurant, not just the delivery.
What does that mean, value from in-restaurant dining? Like booking tables?
Yeah, that kind of thing. Table booking. Maybe tools for ordering at the table via the app, loyalty programs tied to dining in, using their tech inside the venue.
Hmm, clever. Okay, and underpinning all of this, there's the financial side. The integration seems to be working.
Oh, definitely. That's a huge success story. All 10 ASEAN countries now have their own national QR payment systems, unified ones.
And they talk to each other.
8 of them do.
Yeah.
Cross-border QR payments are live in 8 markets now. That regional payment connectivity initiative, it's actually happening. Big deal for trade.
Yeah, that reduces friction immediately. And within financial services, what's driving revenue?
Still digital lending.
Yeah.
By far the biggest contributor to DFS revenue.
Okay, now, the big one, AI. What's the report saying there?
Well, it's a mix. Consumer interest in AI is massive in Southeast Asia. Like, world-leading levels of enthusiasm. People are using it for daily stuff already.
There's always a but.
But, yeah, they're still pretty cautious about letting AI make, quote, more significant decisions. Big concerns around privacy, reliability, trust, basically.
So policy needs to build that trust, transparency.
Absolutely. Without transparency and trust, you won't unlock AI's full commercial potential. And it's tricky for policy for two big reasons specific to SEA.
Go on.
First, the regulations are all over the place, fragmented. That creates a lot of uncertainty for businesses trying to operate across borders. Compliance is messy.
Okay, fragmentation. What's the second reason?
Cost. The upfront cost of implementing sophisticated AI is high. And you compare that to the labor market.
Where wages are comparatively low.
Extremely low. Like 5% of U.S. wages on average, maybe 36% of China's.
So the business case for replacing a person with expensive AI isn't always obvious.
Exactly. Unless that AI delivers a massive, undeniable uplift, the ROI just isn't there compared to cheaper human labor. It really changes the automation equation.
Interesting dynamic. What about the infrastructure needed for AI, data centers and all that?
Yeah, the region is building like crazy. CMA leads the entire Asia Pacific in planned data center growth. They're projecting like 180% capacity increase.
Wow, 180%. They know they need the pipes.
They do. But here's the paradox. While they're building the physical infrastructure, you have these local data localization laws popping up.
Ah, laws saying data has to stay within the country.
Right. And that directly limits the cross-border data flows that are, you know, the absolute lifeblood for developing advanced AI. You need diverse global data to train powerful models.
So building the pipes, but potentially pinching the flow. Okay, let's recap. We've got this huge $300 billion digital economy still growing fast.
Yep, driven now by smarter monetization.
But facing this core tension over the next decade, how to harness AI's power while dealing with global uncertainty and crucially complex internal regulation?
That sums it up pretty well. Which brings us to the final thought, really aimed at the policy shapers listening.
Okay.
The report essentially concludes that the number one factor shaping the next decade won't be the tech itself or even the capital available. It's going to be the regulatory choices. Those choices can, and I'm quoting here, either unlock or inhibit the region's immense potential.
So the provocative question for you is, what specific regulatory steps need to be taken now to make sure Xi'an's digital future is fostered and connected rather than fractured by those very regulations? Something to think about.